Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because up to that time, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. But a phenomenon was about to take place, because the Spirit of God was hovering over those waters. That's why after all this time, I can stand here today and say, when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. He's got thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing. Our God is an awesome God. You see, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Forgotten that our God is an awesome God. It makes me want to sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to your place. I guess I've lost Starla tonight. Anyway, the title of our show tonight is The Bible is Under Attack as Never Before. And what we're doing tonight, we want to wish everyone a Happy New Year and pray that God blesses you in 2013 as never before. We want to encourage all of you to remember your prayer list. If you do not know what we're talking about, you can go back to the archives and take part in our Practical Application of God's Word show. That's one of those shows where we really wanted people to understand that you know, we can talk about a lot of things with God's Word, but application of some of the things that God has for us is what we need to do. We have so many limitations, but through prayer, there's no limitation of what we can and will do for those things that we bring to God in prayer. We know that with the holidays, that family issues that sometimes are brought to the forefront, emotions get the best of us and the other people that we love sometimes. But during the holidays, we can sometimes where we go to love, we can sometimes get to feeling more like there's a hate relationship there. And most people, as we know, do not have a Brady Bunch, you know, family holiday special in their homes. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I can remember back in my childhood that it seemed more like a World Wrestling Federation, an event, than it was for a Christmas holiday season. There would always be someone that their buttons would be pushed, and some of the people had, you know, alcoholic beverages involved, and it just didn't take a whole lot to make a spark for things to get out of control. So we understand those things. We want to share with you that if you take it upon yourself this year, if you've had those situations, to take those things and put them on the altar and first look at the things within yourself and to make that a key point if you realize there's issues there. And then also you can place your loved ones with their issues on the altar also. And one of the things that's great about that is a lot of times in my personal life when I've done that, I found that the crisis for the other people sometimes turns out to be because of my issues and having to react to things that I do. So God always has a way of working things out on both ends if you give him a chance to do that. Tonight we're going to try to share the specific plan of God in all aspects of his relationship with his people. Part of this will cover the attack that has taken place against the Word of God. We're going to try to lay out the foundation of this with the creation of this world. If this is your first time listening to the show, push 1 on your phone if you want to share a comment or ask a question at the end of the show. You'll be identified by the last 4 numbers of your phone number, last 4 digits of your phone number. So as we go out here, usually start to read this part. I see if I can't get us kicked off here and find the links of what we already have ready for our show. So hang on just a second and we'll get it going.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. We hope and pray that all of you had a very blessed and happy New Year's. I'd like to say that 2012 is over. We're now in 2013, so we can sort of start with a clean slate. As we talked about before, it's a good time for people to look at making New Year's resolutions, things they want to change, and to be aware of things in their life that you know, that they want to do different and better, based on things that we've done past. And we can't do anything about what we've done yesterday. One of the great things about living for God is his redeeming power, how he can redeem things. Just this last Sunday, I was in church with family that, for reasons where I was definitely not the best stepfather in the world, didn't really have a clue in some ways of what I was doing, but I saw how God could redeem. We were all there together worshiping the same God in the same house. To be able to offer praise to God, to be able to offer testimony, to be able to share our personal experiences with each other of what God is doing in our lives. You couldn't come up with anything more perfect than what we had this last week with some of the family that was there. And when you stop and realize that it wouldn't have been near as perfect, and you would not have realized the redeeming power of God if you had not been through the storms and not made mistakes and not fallen and not had issues in your life that you wish were not issues, but they are. And the first part of healing and changing issues is to realize that you have an issue, to realize you have a problem. Once you can identify that, and then you can place that before God and submit it to him as your weakness, there the strength of God can shine forth and redeem that in ways that we never even would have thought possible. So tonight our show has been one that in trying to put it together, I've had times where I thought the process of doing the show was hard. Tonight I had things that normally would have taken me 15, 20 minutes to do after I got it all laid out. For some reason, after I did it all, had it completed, just completely disappeared. Was no longer there. My computer ate it. And there again, I feel that I understand that that's part of the process. I've kind of went through and changed some things on it and trying to put this together. And so I really believe in faith that this is going to be a better show than would have been if I had got everything to work exactly as I wanted it to the first time. Now, there again, your thoughts on this and your impression of it may be 100% totally different than what mine is. So, but that's one of the great things about opinions and perceptions, that we all have them. And so we just all do the best that we can. But in the show tonight, I am actually going to bring you something that I was working on for a Sunday school class that I just recently was asked to do at our church. It's really funny. I've been up in front of crowds of all sizes for years and never really had a problem with it. And this last Sunday was the first time in several years that I had actually done this. And so you would think that it would have been no big thing, but getting up there, I think I made the joke to some people. If they thought I was fanning myself, I wasn't. That was just how nervous I was. My hands were shaking that hard. But one of the things that became very clear to me in the process of looking at this lesson is we're living in a time where the Bible is under attack. And you ask yourself, why in the world would something that has to do with people of religious faith be under attack so much by the things in the world? And the reason for this is that Satan hates the Word of God. Because according to the Word of God, he's a defeated foe. When you look at the Word of God and you find the promises that God has in place for us, when you understand that we have a God who just is not powerful, all-powerful, the Almighty God, but his wisdom is so far beyond our understanding, but even at that, he lays out a plan. When you look at his word, it is just mind-blowing to be able to just, I mean, I can't fathom some of these things, but even in my limited perception of knowledge, I can see specifics of a plan that was planted there at the very beginning of creation. And one of the reasons I started there was because of the fact that we're fixed to start a reading program at our church. It's called Bread Charts, and it's a chart that allows you to read all the way through the Bible in a year. And it maps it out so that you stay on a specific path and time plan that you'll be able to do this. And so our church is going to have those. And so I thought, you know, well, we're going to be starting at the beginning. And so that's where I wanted to go. We're starting with the beginning of the Bible, but also the beginning of the Bible starts with the beginning of mankind in our world. And I thought, well, okay, this is a great place for us to start. But one of the things where Satan does not like us going to the Word of God, and he wants to tear down our faith in the things of God, is it because if he can put a crack or a little wedge in there that we might not believe one point here, then later on he may be able to put a wedge in to make us not believe other points and to tear down our faith in God. And so having faith in God's Word, to understand that it was something that was written by men, but it was by divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost that God put through those people to have us come through us or for us today. And one of the things that's in the Word of God, it allows us to know our enemy. The Word of God lets us identify the things that come against us. It'll show us his traps. It gives us a plan to be able to avoid and overcome these things. And I ran across the scripture in Ezekiel that I thought the wording of it was very, very unusual. It's Ezekiel 22:25, but I think it kind of lays into some other things where we get to know our enemy. But it says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many windows in the midst thereof. And I thought, wow, you know, here it is, you know, we'll look later and where the Bible talks, and I think it's in 1 Peter 5 and 8, where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I saw the comparison going back between these two scriptures, and I realized this whole scenario is that there's a world out there that's following either God or is following Satan. There is no in-betweens. There is no Sweden when it comes to the process of the spiritual warfare going on. And this roaring lion, this adversary, is there. And another scripture I came across was in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, God's got it. He's going to make it very clear to us the things that have to do with Satan's devices. And I put a picture up on the Sunday school class the other day, and it had this demon-like looking creature with these huge horns and flame coming off. It was an awful-looking monster. And he had this rope wrapped around his hands like a whip, and he was going out there and using this as a whip, but he could also use it to attach himself to people. You know, when you don't have sin in your life, Satan doesn't have anything to latch hold of. But I thought, you know, why would you invite this monster into your house? Why would you invite it in front of your family? Why would you introduce it to your friends? And the reason I say this is because so many times different things have come into my life that I've shared with others and made them a part of whatever my actions were, that without a doubt they had to do with the things of sin. And you're like, why don't everybody just, when you bring it in, like if it was this monster, they would take off this. I know if my mom came home and she brought this huge monster in the house that had flames coming off of it and this rope of fire hanging off her that could lash out at me and grab hold of me with, I would be screaming and running for all I had, or I'd probably just flop over dead with a heart attack right there. But the other image that I put up was of this angelic host, was this angel that had this holy glow about it, had a sword in his hand and had a shield, these beautiful wings, kind of this massive, powerful thing. And it was reminded, or brought back to my mind, so excuse me, I can't talk here tonight, how that Satan was an angel of light. He led the worship service. He wasn't inside. He may be all those things that we saw in those other creatures, but from the outside, he's a beautiful, powerful angel. And so when we look at these things and we bring it into our home and we bring it before other people, they don't run away in fear. All of a sudden we start looking for logic as to how this is going to be fun. This is going to be cool. Man, this is going to make me so much better. You know, this is going to be something I can brag about. I've got this angel here, you know, this is what I brought in. And people are not running from that. They're drawn to light, just like a moth drawn to a light. That, of course, the other part of that, I heard someone say one time that many times as a moth, when I put myself in that place, the light I'm drawn to is a bug zapper. And I can't tell you how many times I've been put in that position, I've been zapped because of the things that come my way. But one of the things that we need to be very aware of with our enemy is that man's knowledge fed by Satan's lies are coming into play to challenge the Word of God. And I say that because you can read National Geographic, you can read things with Discovery Channel, you can look at all these things here where they have taken Noah's Ark, they've done a computer model, and they said it's impossible. On the specifications, what you get from the Bible, this thing would not have floated. First little wave come along, it would have turned over. They go in, they look at Jonah in the well, which we know that the Bible didn't say well. It said great, God created a great fish. And they said there's no way with any of the fish that's around today that a man could have passed through, and whether he was alive or what, and spit up later, the whole story just doesn't make sense. And you look at the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they were led to the Red Sea, and when they had to cross, many people that look back at different things, their theory of time and the water, where it was there and the location, they tell you that it was like a stream. That even in flood stage, it was something that it would not have had no depth to it, that you could have went across. It might have been wide, but it would have been no big thing to just walk across it. You know, in the highest place might have been knee deep. And so, you know, they try to tear these things down. But then again, if a person has faith and they believe in God's word to everything that it says, science may not could make a boat to the specifications of God. But God took one man and his family that had probably never built anything like this in their life, gave him a specific plan. And when God puts a plan together, it works for that situation right then that it was designed to be used for. Because whether you believe it or not, and things of science tell you that there were some events have happened that we don't know what it was that altered things on this world. But we do know for a fact that according to God's word, that the animals all came. And you say, well, they might have been on land masses where there was no land way to walk there. How did they get there? You know, how did they come to this region of the country? If my God said that the animals were going to be there for Noah to allow to come into the ark, and they were going to come in the numbers that God said, do you not believe that God could have picked them up in the palm of his hand and placed them there. We have science fiction where we look at where we can take things from like Star Trek and beam it from one thing to another where the molecules are broke down. We don't think the God of creation could have broke their molecules down, blew it in the wind, and had it rematerialize on another landmass. Are we that feeble-minded that we can't take the thing of the story of the great fish and realize that God said he created a great fish? He didn't say he took a whale. And if God made a fish specific for the needs of what was going on with Jonah, then it could happen. And how much more is it a miracle that God could part a Red Sea that may not have been more than knee-deep and had him walk across on dry ground? And then when the enemies of God came there, he took that small amount of water and he drowned all of Pharaoh's armies. Does that not speak of the power of the God that we serve? But it is so easy to let things come in, and we're so visual, and you know, even media in Hollywood today, they're attacking God on what is acceptable in our world today, where we're talking about the things where it has to do with homosexuality, or it has to do with the marriage of same-sex people should be able to have the ability to have what we call holy matrimony that was created by God, that it should be something taken from the church and you know, put out there for other people. And how many churches today are now going and saying that they don't accept the Word of God as 100% accurate, that you have to kind of look at things and realize that man wrote it, and we're seeing a tearing down even of the church fiber of the faith that they have in the Word of God because of some of the things that have to do with perceptions of this world we live in today where everything has to be politically correct. Scientists, you know, it wasn't that long ago that one of the main arguments that we had against evolution, which when I was going to school, what was that, 20 years ago, it was a theory. Now they're teaching it in the schools as scientific fact. When I went to school, there was five things that had to be in place for something to be a scientific fact. I can't remember what those were, and I can't find those anymore because science is now rewriting their science books, so that's not there. But two of the things I can remember. One was is that you had to be able to duplicate it in a lab, or the other was you had to be able to see your theory in progress or process out in the big wide world. You had to be able to see it somewhere, which was two things evolution couldn't do. But now with new science where we're getting into breaking down the chains of DNA, we're finding that we can so much tear down the things of evolution. So now they're even changing evolution. Like, well, now we're talking about from one thing to another. It could be something as simple as eye color or living longer or something like that. It's not changing from one species to another as it was in the beginning. That started with Darwin's theory, which 100% was based on plants. You know, someone else took it to the next level. And we also live in a time where the law of man seems to favor freedom from religion. That has to do with Christianity, not freedom from all religions, mind you, over having freedom of religion. You know, I don't know why these things are happening. I don't know why it's there. And I'm sure that, you know, many of you are saying, well, you know, I think that sometimes the church people, they kind of take this thing to extreme. It's really not that bad. But when it gets to the point to where now you have to look at if you take tax-exempt status for a church, then all of a sudden with the hate laws and everything that's coming in against bashing people of homosexuality or practicing homosexuality, that all of a sudden the state or federal government may be able to come in and say, hey, you know, you're tax exempt, and so, you know, we're able to say that you can't do that anymore. And going back to this thing with science, we're finding that more and more that people of faith that work in jobs that have to do with science, heaven help them if they make the mistake of saying something that has to do with a God or has to do with the creation of the world as we know it coming from a design and from a creator. We've seen more in this time we live in right now where people are coming out and being attacked and losing their jobs, even if they got tenure. There was this one guy who was being really smart. They was talking to him and interviewing him about some of these things that were going on with these other people. And he's like, well, I don't have to worry about it. I got 20 years tenure. And the next thing you know, they came up with something off the wall to where all of a sudden he didn't have a job anymore. He couldn't believe it. And so one of the things I wanted to look at tonight was intelligent design versus the theory of evolution. Now, one of the things that we know for fact is that science tells us that power has a starting point and it fades over distance and time. And the illustration that I used for the Sunday school class and I had a picture was an atomic bomb blast. We've all seen the shock waves. We all know that the radiation travels so far, and as it goes further, it gets weaker and weaker, and it goes away. And so that's one of the things that science, you know, tries to come in. Science cannot tell us where the power source came that caused the creation process. And that's okay. I mean, because science, there's a lot of things they can't prove. They got, we know that science has what they call a hypothesis, which is an educated guess. They have scientific theory, which is based on certain principles that they try to come up with this possible situation as to where certain things can happen in a certain way based on the information that they're plugging in. And then to make something a fact, at one point is you had to be able to take those situations that were theory, apply science to it in a laboratory, and then, like I said, one of the things was you had to be able to duplicate whatever it was to make it a fact, or you had to be able to show it, you know, happening out there in the real world, which, you know, you can look at, they had the theory of gravity. And we can look out of the laboratory where they went in, they were able to prove it there, and they can see how gravity works in the real world. It's not one of those things that's really hard to understand. But when you get to trying to figure out how everything goes, when the very first element to anything it has to do with creation that science has to do with an unknown power source generated from something unknown that somehow or another caused enough spark that it created life. Now that is the way, you know, the very first part of everything has to do with evolution or anything that has to do with something without God, you know, has that there. And I thought, wow, you know, and one of the key things that I love about the Word of God is that if you really start at the beginning and go to the end, you can see a little bit about how our God, even though his ways are above our ways, and it's very clear when you look at creation, he has a specific plan to everything. But I was thinking about this power that they seem to not be able to understand, and there's so many different scriptures you could go to, but I went to Revelations 1 and 8, and this is Jesus talking here. It says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, if you think that when you're trying to figure out what was the something there at the beginning and, you know, that did all this and everything, when he makes it clear that Jesus, that he was the beginning, he is the ending. You know, he didn't just leave it Alpha and Omega. He wants to make sure you understand that's the beginning and the ending. He's the one that was from before whatever, when you can't figure out what the power and the source was. And he's the one that is to come, which we understand from God's word that God's going to be coming back for a bride. And it goes on beyond it when you try to figure out, well, what is the power limitations here? It lets you know that he's the Almighty. There is no limitations to his power. There is no defining thing. There is no beginning to it. There is no weakening of it. Science said that the power is one of those things that over time and distance, they became weaker to the point to where it wasn't. But when you have an Almighty that's there at the beginning and there at the end, there is no breaking down of the process with God when it comes to the power he has. And creation goes to prove that, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Another scripture we had here was 2 Timothy 1 and 9. "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before the world began. Before we were created, before this world was formed, before all the things that we see around us today, before that, God had a purpose and a plan. Grace was already in place for fallen man before we were created. That blows my mind, that his wisdom and his knowledge is so far beyond that even this was planned in advance. And I'll give you one more scripture here in Titus 1 and 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." It is a promise of eternal life to mankind before he ever even created the planet we were on, before he even created us. That, I don't know about you, but that just, that's one of those things that's just so hard for me to wrap my little peanut brain around. Because we look at things of absolutes, and we have a God who has principles and promises that are absolute, even though we have a tendency in this day and time to want to water it down to where there is no absolutes when it comes to the things of God. Then, you know, and because we think it, therefore, all of a sudden, it's not a God of absolutes. But when you realize that in His way of looking at things, in His way of doing things, there is no end to the things that has to do with God. And so one of the things that, when I brought this before our Sunday school classes, I found this cute little picture of two monkeys, and the guy monkey was wearing like a little tux, and the girl monkey was had on a wedding dress, and I put on here, is science weakening your faith by making a monkey out of you? You know, do you think that that's part of your family? And so, you know, when you get to looking at the creation of the world, sometimes we forget, and we use this word a lot, intelligent design. But design, there was a plan, a design. You know, we look at theory of evolution, but then we look at the power and the divine things that have to do with God. It just, I don't know about you, but it just, you say, well, what is the plan? You know, how could it be that before He ever created us, you know, is that getting into predestination and all these things? And is it, did it really take away from us having free will? And when you really look at how the Bible explains creation, it makes it very clear that there was a plan. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures on this. You can go back and look at it yourself because of time. I'm not going to do it. And I do want people to be able to share whatever it is that they feel on this. But you can go to Genesis 1 and 1, and you can read through Genesis 1 and 5. And that covers the first day of creation. Now, there's some specifics here of God's design that you can look at. First, as we brought up before, God was the power and the planner that started creation. With God, there's no blanks as to trying to figure out what was the spark that did this. Here on the first day, God created the heavens and the earth. Note again, there's no confusion over time where science says that there's millions of years and they try to come up with this scientific process to carbon date something to find out how old it was. And I found this thing from back in 1973 where two college students had went and they dug up a grave that was marked from back, I think it was in the 1700s. And this was, they took the skull from this grave. And they took it to the school, and it was carbon dated. And they said it was millions of years old, and here it, you know, years old, and here it was dated the grave 1700 and something. You know, it shows that carbon dating doesn't work. When you look at carbon dating, we understand that you can carbon date something that from right after it first passes away, because carbon dating checks the breakdown of carbons in life form. You know, we're carbon based. Well, the problem with that is as it breaks down and things get petrified, they're no longer a living thing to check. It's petrified. It's rock. You can't carbon date a rock. It's not going to work. There's no carbon dating to it. So the computer can just come up with any kind of number it wants to. One of the other things here was that I found very interesting was how God created light. Now, there's a lot of speculation. Some people said that God was that light. It was the glory of God. It was that light. But I don't think so. You know, there's some things that we know from science. We know that science travels at a speed of 146,000 miles per second. Now, that's pretty quick. And we used to, in school, I don't know who came up with it, and I like to think that I did, but I don't think I really did. I think probably a science teacher did, and it stuck in my mind. But they brought up the scenario, if you had a car that would drive at 186,000 miles per second. Excuse me, I had to correct myself there. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Can't believe I remembered that wrong, but it just clicked in my brain. If you had a car that would go that fast and you shone on the headlights, what would happen? Would the lights glow? Would there be any light beam project from the headlights, or would nothing happen? So when you think about God created light, and He separated this light for us, and you look at it, and science has ways to measure now where they can tell you that the sun is 92 million miles away, and you realize that when God, the sun wasn't created yet, because we know that this happens later in the creation process. But what if God provided the light before He provided the source? Because if He's a God that can provide a plan of salvation and escape before He created fallen man, before He created man who fell, then what is to keep God from creating the light before he created the source, because he knew that at 186,000 miles per second, it was going to take a long time for that light to travel from the sun to here. So it's just one of those things to kind of think about, and it's not written to let us know exactly, but there's enough of it there in specifics when you read about the creation process that you know that there was definitely, the light was created, the world, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. That was all laid out there. So anyway, going on to day two, and I got to really make sure that I'm doing this right. I'm really having trouble with our sound system uploading things today. It's doing a time thing on me where it won't upload. So I got to make sure I don't run past that. So excuse me for these little breaks. Okay, it looks like we're cooking with gas here, so I can get back into this and make sure we're there. But on day two, it goes from Genesis 1 and 6 to Genesis 1 and 8. And there again, I'm just going to kind of break these down in the outline here, specifics that you notice from this. But the specifics of God's design, note again, there's no confusion over the time frame of this creation. It's the explanation of a day is provided, just like it was on day one. I'm not sure I covered that, but it showed that the separation from the evening and the morning was a day. You know, a lot of people say, well, God, to him, 1,000 years, this is a day, and I know that this is true. But he wanted us to understand this was an evening and morning. It was one day. You know, nothing to question on this. When you try to figure out what a firmament is, and I even have trouble saying it, much less find a definition to it, but I went in and looked, and it says the vault or arch of the sky. And I was doing some research, and some scientists that are Christian scientists, they even found a Jewish scientist that had a post on this on a Jewish website. But it says that if we look at a terrarium, we can get a clear understanding of what God was doing here with the separation of the waters. And they said, what is it? It was an arch in the sky, just like if you were to get one of these terrariums. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a little plastic thing, and it's got kind of, some of them are rounded, shaped like a globe, and some of them are different shapes, but they're sealed. It's got a lid over it, and what it does is that because of the plants and things that are in there, it cycles the water around kind of like a dew or a mist to water everything, which we know from what was said in the Garden of Eden later and everything, that that's how God had a design and plan for how he was going to water the earth. And so what God was doing here is the separation of waters was we had the water that was on the world, and then the moisture, which, you know, they probably couldn't figure out how to break that down, that was that was in the air. And so that was there, and it wasn't rain, as we know. So it's one of those things. And there again, you know, anybody at the end of this show, we want to open this up, you can share what you feel on these things. Going to day three, you start at Genesis 1 and 9. You go down to Genesis 1:13. And again, note there's no confusion over the time frame of creation. The explanation of a day was provided again. One thing I thought was really interesting, God pointed out again the original separation of the water from the heavens. You know, very clear that God is now separating the waters that were under the firmament. So it's not, you know, like water to water type thing. You know, this was, he wanted to let us know this is something different. And one of the things I don't think I noted before on days one and two, but we need to be very clear at, is note that the power of this creation process is by his word alone. It wasn't that he said he had to blow a strong wind, or he had to rub two sticks together, or he had to come out with a flint out of his pocket, or get his Jesus lighter out, or something like that. He spoke these things into being. And so, as we know, on this day, we now have dry land, and the seas is now separated. And so, you know, when they get talking about power source, can you imagine a power source so powerful that it just spoke and creation was formed based on his words? And one of the other things here that was really neat when you get to looking at day three is the fact that all of a sudden now we have something living. And God spoke word, he created plant life. Again, it was just spoken. But note, he made it clear that he made seed and he made plants. And each was made after its own kind. In other words, you had an apple seed that you would plant, and it would grow an apple tree. And you would take the fruit of the apple tree, and the seed inside of that would be, guess what? Apples. It wasn't no evolution process there. You know, there's two kinds of evolution. One puts God in the picture, and there's one that leaves God out of the picture. But this makes it clear that there is no evolution. He made it after its own kind. So that it wasn't where one species jumped to another and everything. It was it's completely separate. Going on here, let's see, to day four. This was the day you just. This is one of those things where I seem like I came up with something a little different, but it was again is God speaking power. It starts in Genesis 1:14, goes down to Genesis 1:18, and again there's no confusion over the time. It makes it clear that it was a day. That's one of the things that when you get to looking at a specific plan. You know, it's easy to see a pattern take place. It's not one of those things that there has to be confusion in any way. There's a pattern. There's something happening here. When you think of the power of God speaking to create the things that we see here, we have the sun, we have the moon, which God made it clear that there one ruled the day and one ruled the night. When we look at the stars in the sky, and we talked before about of anything power that we understand in this world, over space and time, it gets weaker. But science has recently discovered that when God created the universe, when he spoke it, the universe is still expanding today. It didn't stop. It's still taking place. And so, you know, to me, that's just amazing when you stop and think about that. Of course, we all understand, you know, the sun, that's where our light source comes from. That's where I brought it before. God created the light before he created the sun. We understand how it's the reflection, refraction process of the moon with the sunlight that causes the sun to be there. But also note, he created the signs for seasons, for days, and for years. You know, once I make it clear again, a day and a night, that's a day. But the seasons and all those things, you know, that's our calendar. You know, we understand with science today how those things come about, how God created a specific orbit of the planets in our universe in relationship with the sun to cause all these things to happen. You know, some people believe different things on this, but also to make this happen, to separate the day and the night for the sun and the moon, there was a rotation of our Earth on its axis that took place at this time. A plan to put that into place. I heard someone say 5 degrees closer to the sun and we would have been burnt to a crisp. 1 degree off of that, further from the sun in our orbit, and we'd have froze to death. The mind of God, the wisdom and knowledge that he possesses, is one of those things that you just cannot wrap your brain around. And then, I love this. I caught this on something Blog Talk Mom shared with me the other day. When it talked about the stars, it was like and he made the stars. You know, look at our sky. Look at the stars. Our stars are without number as far as we know. But then, you know, read what it says when it talks about creation. It was noticed that he made the stars also, you know, these stars, as I said, without number. He made them all with a specific plan. But he placed the stars where they are. We can't even number them. And in one day, God placed the stars. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I cannot comprehend a God that did all this. And so then we go on to day five. I don't want to digress here and just keep beating a dead horse with all my excitement and how I just cannot believe this, but I just want to point out over and over, he makes it very clear by day. You can see how it all fits together. There's a specific plan with what God has going on. Okay, so now we're at day five. It starts at Genesis 1:20, goes to Genesis 1:23. And just going on down to highlight some things on this, once again, God made it clear this creation process was in one day. It wasn't millions of years. The power of creation that science cannot figure out what it was, where it was, where it began, all this, again, was by his spoken word. Living creatures were created to fill our waters. When you stop and realize that today, we understand that that's freshwater fish, saltwater fish, fish of all shapes and sizes. Some fish are designed to operate at different depths of the water that they're in. Fish is some of the most unusual shapes and colors that can blow your mind. It goes beyond comprehension. To understand that there's a little fish called an archer fish that has a little groove made in the roof of his mouth. He's got a tongue that's made precisely the size to sit in that groove. He has a muscle on that that he can take and fling it up into that groove with enough force that it would shoot water up and blast a bug off of a little twig over the water to where the fish can eat it. The design that God put in place for his creation. Again, God's spoken word created all of our birds, from the majestic eagle that you can see soaring around to the amazing little hummingbird. We have birds that nest on mountaintops, in trees, and even in the ground. The different shapes, sizes, and colors, again, show the amazing God we serve. When you look at each feather on a bird's wings and comprehend the care that went into their creation, add to this that he built a GPS into these birds to where they can migrate thousands of miles away and come back to where they were before. And they go back to the exact same nesting places where they had come from. It just speaks to the amazing power of our God. Again, you know, there's no evolution process. Each animal is made after its own kind. There was no changing from one species to another. Also note that God didn't create eggs for the birds and eggs for the fish. Of course, we do have some mammals that are fish, to go again to show the power of God. Not everything was just in one form, shape, or something that's what it could be of one in what creating the species. He created living animals. And God told them to go out and multiply. You know, they were able to hear his voice. They understand the power and the words of God. They were told to go multiply. It amazes me that the things that our God has done here and he outlined in his plan. Day 6, you start at Genesis 1:24, goes down to Genesis 1:31, which is the end of the chapter. And this is the day that sort of lays things out in a different way. Now, some of this you're going to have to go back in and look later on in Genesis 2. And maybe over in Genesis 3, but I know in Genesis 2, to get the explanation of some of this that I'm going to bring up right here. Once again, God made it clear this creation process was in one day, not millions of years. God's spoken word on this day created all the animals that we have on our world that lives on dry land. Once again, the amazing power and imagination of our God is displayed, from the smallest ant to the largest dinosaur. All creatures were created after its own kind. No evolutionary process. But then you get to where God made man. God did not make man by the spoken word. God created man with his own two hands in his image from the dust of the earth. When you think about looking at God's plan, when you realize that Jesus is the only physical image of God, even in creation, God outlined that there's only one God. Think about that. The seed for man's comprehension of the image of God that had not been born yet was planted in the creation of our world. It blows my mind to think about a God that awesome with that much power. A lot of people try to put some confusion on this, but no, it is real clear. God said, "Let us make man in our image." So God created man in his own image, is what it went on to say. No mystery for people who believe all of God's word. There's only one God. Jesus is his name. He created woman from a rib taken from man. Mankind was the only creation that God breathed life into them, creating a living soul. Man was told also to go forth and multiply. Adam and Eve were the only people God created. Eve was called the mother of all living. There is no evolution, no monkeys turning into men, none of these things that can't be explained. If you have faith to believe in God, to trust in his word, the guessing and all these things are out of the way. you can look at things that man has put together, the evolutionary tree, where it shows the one cell, and it talks about how that cell was affected by all the things that were outside of it to where it formed with other cells, became a living organism, survival of the fittest, and these things evolved from one species to another. If it was in water, it might have developed gills to where it could breathe underwater. If it was on land, it had lungs that was developed so it could breathe and live on air, and different species of creatures evolved into other species of other creatures with survival of the fittest, you know, being the mindset of the plan that they want to have for man's theory. And then you can take God's plan and his word, what we just looked at right here. In some ways, it's so complicated. In other ways, you know, because there's not anybody else that can do these things. When you look at science, has no clue what the creative power was, when it happened, how this power started. The creative process that science has to where they either have their hypothesis, theory, or scientific fact, where they're trying to come up with the creation of mankind and they can't do it. Evolution of light's changing their own rules, because even the new science has proven that it's wrong. The reason science is doing these things is because Satan is involved. Satan, you can look at his history, his devices, things he's done. He always tries to change the rules. He will deceive people using a form of God's word. Look what happened in the Garden of Eden. Look when he tried to tempt Jesus. He will take God's word and he will try to twist it into something it not says. So it's so important for all of us to know God's word. It's so important for us to be part of a church that teaches all of the Bible as fact. It didn't say this is for then, this is for now, separate this here. You know, it doesn't fit together. It's not what it is. Because as you can look at the creation process, you can see that God is not, has no limitations in this plan. Science now can break down with microscopes and electronic microscopes with computers hooked to them and break down just the cell of an animal. One cell of millions that make up an animal. And they can look at all the different processes of what's there, the enzymes that's there, the filaments that are there, the nucleus of it, the nucleus pores of it they can now see now, the plasma membrane, the nuclear envelope, you know, the things that are all there that make up a cell. And one of the things that they're finding now with science is that there's a lock so that a cell of a body will only reproduce a cell just like what it was. So a skin cell that's damaged, guess what? It's not going to reproduce a booger. It's not going to reproduce a bird. It's not going to reproduce a cat. It's going to reproduce another skin membrane, a cell. That's what it's going to reproduce. It's got a lock on it. That's all it can do. It can't do anything else. DNA. The things where they're mapping DNA strands, guess what they found? They found that when you look into DNA, there's locks in there to keep it from being able to go from one living species to be created into another living species. It's not possible. It's funny when you look at Darwin's theory of evolution, it was really with plants. It didn't have to do with living, you know, creatures. That was something other people expanded into later and tried to talk him into doing. Even Darwin, on certain things, he took and he realized that when he came up with this, that he sort of denounced it later in his life. There's different people that said. You know, you can look at the theory of evolution where it talks about acquired characteristics and how it can, you know, form different things. And you can look at the world we live in today, and we know that acquired characteristics cannot be inherited. With evolution, outside effect change things to go from one species to another through survival of the fittest. But we've seen where you can take a man that works for a living with a shovel in his hands over years of work where his hands become gnarled and curled to the shape of a shovel. They don't straighten up all the way. And you can see where people from generations working the same mines, doing the same kind of work, and they all develop to having those same hands. But when you're born, guess what? They had straight hands. It wasn't inherited. And if someone of the family, say a woman, didn't go into, a girl baby was born, she didn't go into the field of mining, guess what? her hands never became that gnarled, curled things that didn't pass on. Even when we dropped the bomb on Japan, the atomic bomb, there was people that was really messed up from radioactive poisoning. And you have to also realize this poisoning went into their blood, and so some of these things were passed on. There was birth defects and things that happened. But it was amazing within some of the families that were affected drastically by this poison that didn't die. And within three generations, they had children that were normal. They showed no effect of what the family had been involved with. It's only three generations before where they had been submitted to so much radiation in their bodies. It just goes to prove without a doubt that God made things after its own kind. He put things there that made it as to a specific, not an unknown. There's not some sort of thing where there's gaps as to what it is. When you stop and think about, like I said before, that our God's power is without limit, that our atmosphere is what it is today. With, if we'd have been any further away from the sun, we'd have froze. And any closer on our orbit, we would burn. We understand in this day and time through some things with science, the plan of God, how specific it had to be for us to be able to survive. When you stop and realize that this creation that we're talking about, it was all created for us. I mean, think about that. When you look at creation, it was real clear that we weren't just another creation from the Almighty God, but we were a creation that He placed value on. It shows the love that He had for mankind when you look at all these marvelous things around us that is here. When you realize as part of the planning process, as we brought out before, that part of the process was He knew in advance, it was already in plan, it was already promised for a creation that didn't exist yet, for us to have an escape from sin. Just the wisdom and knowledge of our God that He was able to do that. And later, His plan of putting off sin for 1 year at a time with an animal sacrifice. And this merged into a plan that's actually part of the same plan when you look at it. When you look at the layout of the tabernacle, and the plan that went along with that with the sacrifice to show us that there was transition taking place in God's plan. When you look at the plan of His birth to come here to redeem us from our sins, and He already formed an image of flesh in mankind's creation to be made in His image before He was born, before we were created. The plan that when He died of redeeming fallen man with His sacrifice on the cross that was there before He was formed in flesh and born of a woman because mankind didn't exist. All of this planning is put into place to flow into our being able to be in His presence again without shame or the curse of sin. Plus, Satan and his fallen angels are going to be defeated, and those that are cursed because they did not have faith to follow Jesus are going to go to the same hell as Satan. When you look at the direction and the flow of God's plan, you can realize that all the things that are put in place was put in place to draw us back closer to Him, to defeat Satan. All the undermining, all the things, when you realize that this process is, if we submit ourselves to it, that it's one of those things that we cannot lose if we get in the plan that God has put in place. Satan has everything to look at that we have to look at here. And as ignorant as I am in my limitations to try to lay out this plan that God has made so clear to us through His Word, when you look at how He used Satan to go in there and with the crucifixion, you know, Satan thought he had defeated God. When you realize He's even using Satan against Himself to put His plan in play, it just, the love of this God who has all power, who has the imagination that goes beyond anything we can come close to comprehending, where He placed a value on us that everything that we see was put together for us. It's just because we were also His creation. But we're not just His creation. We are the jewel of His creation because He puts value on us. But we can either be blessed of God and fit into that plan, or we can be cursed by God by allowing sin to keep a hold on us when God's made a way for us to be free from it. Where he's given us that free will, well, it's choice. And I guess I just want to end this with, this is a new year. It's 2013. You know, if you want to believe that you came from a monkey, I'm not going to try to persuade you different. But when you can think that there's a master's hand, that all this fits within the plan that he's put in place, the love that he has for us, and he's reaching out to all who will to take the free gift of salvation, to be more than what they ever thought they could be, to go from being lost and cursed as fallen man in sin to being redeemed by the blood of our God. I just want to encourage each and every one of you, just stop and think about this. It's not complicated. This one thing I was watching last night, it's hard to admit that you're a sinner, that the things you're doing are wrong, to admit that you don't have to be in control of every aspect of what's going on in your life, but to submit it all to Jesus and follow the path that he has for us. It's easy and it's hard. But the promised outcome of what he has for us will make it all worth it. This life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. That life is eternal, eternal to be with the Almighty God, or eternal to be in a place of outer darkness, to be falling forever and ever and ever, and to hear people screaming and crying in pain, and to realize that one of those voices you hear is your own. To know that you're not ever going to go into shock. The pain's not ever going to end. To know that you can't justify your way out of there. You can't say, oh, I didn't understand. I didn't know. There's no excuses. God's going to direct someone or something into your path, and it's going to be your choice. There's no, say, I'm going to do like a Chinese restaurant, and I'm going to take one from column A and two from column B when it comes to God's word. You're either in his plan all the way, or you're out. There's going to be those that said that they cast out demons in his name. They had, you know, different gifts of the Spirit working in their life. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I know you not. Devil's got a counterfeit for all the things that God has. And he will deceive you if you're not aware of his devices. And the only way to be aware is to be in his word, memorizing his scripture, submitting yourself into a church that's Bible-based, that believes all of God's word is true, to where the fivefold ministry is being worked to present God's word as seed into your life where it can bring forth fruit. That's the only way you can ever build that faith to stand. Well, Starla, I'm going to turn this back over to you. I'm sure some people's got some comments.
Well, I was going to turn it back over to Starla, but she's abandoned me tonight. So she's still trying to pick up the pieces from 2 weekends in a row of holiday traffic. But we do want to open this up if anybody's got any comments or anything they would like to share. And I apologize. I know some of that seemed like I was really, really rambling. But I tell you what, just I am so blown away by the signs of the things that you see around us through God's creation, to understand the love he has for us and the specific plan that he has for us. He wasn't caught by surprise by anything that's happened, and he's not going to be caught surprised by anything that happens. And he's made that very clear. We can put our faith and our trust in him. And when he promises that everything will work together for our good, if we're part of that plan, it's clear to see, you know, that we can trust him. So if anyone has anything they'd like to add, I think Blog Talk Mom's out there. Or do you have anything you'd like to add, Blog Talk Mom?
I know we're sort of running short of time. I do appreciate the effort that you're making to bring this to the forefront, because basically, if we don't believe that God created everything, if we don't believe that He is the intelligence that is behind the design, then we can't ever believe any of it. You know, that's the foundation, the foundational truth that we all have. I think we should examine every belief system. I was reading an article that 80% of the denominational churches don't at this point believe in a literal burning hell. And when you were describing it, the sensation and the feeling of being lost forever and ever, you can just sort of reason it out that God wouldn't do that. This same loving, creative God just wouldn't do that. But He didn't do that. Hell was not created for us. It has enlarged itself because of the same deception that Lucifer used, and when he pulled a third of the angels away from God, he is using that same deception now. And we just, it's up to each one of us whether or not we'll take it seriously enough. And really, like you said, we don't have to, all we have to do is just believe what God said. I know years ago this children's science book that I taught out of said that if you were to walk down the road, you know, or anywhere out in the country, and your foot hit a rock, well, you know, you could pick that rock up and you could think, well, it could have came from a meteor, it could have maybe came from a cliff where somebody came through doing excavation, whatever. You know, it could have all kinds of reasoning behind it. But if you hit something in with your foot and you look down, you picked it up and it was a Rolex watch, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a watchmaker somewhere. The intricacy of a watch, it has to have it all together or it's worthless. And when God spoke the world into existence, He knew exactly what He was doing, when He was doing it, how He was doing it, and for what reason He was doing it. And we are to accept that, because the fear of God or the reverence of God is the beginning of our wisdom. At any point that anyone begins to make up their own mind and their own rules, like evolution, because so many simple things, the creatures that defy evolution, for instance, the bombardier beetle. There's a video that people can get about that. This little beetle, little bitty beetle. If he could not have evolved, or he would have blown himself up way down the line. And I think it was the giraffe with his long neck. If he didn't have a certain way that his neck was made and the blood would go to his head, the first time he got him a drink of water, he'd blow his brains out. Or if he got... You know, either in reverse, if he had to stand up really quick, he'd fall over dead. But everything that God created, He created it exactly like He wanted it, when He wanted it that way, and He asked only for us to believe that. And in so believing it, we believe and have put our trust in the God that created this vastness that you described. I mean, it's just... I love that. I don't like to see God in my little limited, you were talking about, you know, it's beyond our comprehension. I don't want to put Him in that box. I don't want to put Him in the box of any religion or any historical group. I want to see Him according to the Word of God, that He is great and greatly to be praised. He is all that we will ever need in every situation. He is a loving, mighty, powerful God. And anybody and any time that when we reach up to Him in sincerity and we open up our heart and our minds to Him, there's nothing. He said, I will withhold no good thing from those that come to the Lord. I appreciate this program very much, because the entire theory of evolution is so ridiculous, and it so has infiltrated the entire intelligence of so many things that concerns me, in the medical field, and well, just, you know, the survival of the fittest. I'm not the fittest, I'd hate for somebody to, decide that euthanasia or like would be something like the abortion situation, where there are so many that are going that it has such a stronghold right now because they're not considered God's creation. And this is a great program, Wild Bill. I enjoyed it very much. I miss hearing Sister Starla, and I thank her for being such a good hostess while I visited in your home last week.
Well, I will be sure and tell her. She's still trying to put everything back together from having a couple other grandkids over this last weekend, and it's been just a very special time for us during the holidays. But I don't know, something about going through all this, you know, it's one of those things that could get to where, like anything else, it just becomes words until you really go through and you just try to seek after it, to feel. You know, there's a lot of things we really don't understand, but just when it hit me that he created the light before he ever created the sun. And then there are certain things that science has put in place. We know what the speed of light is. We know how far the sun is away from the earth. And you realize that all of a sudden, he's not just a planner, he's the master planner. When you realize, and it just blew me away, and I've heard this all my life about, you know, that before the world was framed, he was God and he was there. But it just didn't really strike me in the way it did in putting this together to realize that before man was born and even sinned, God, in his ultimate plan, had a way of escape. And when I that just hit me in such a way to let me know there was never anything. I mean, it's like the thing I tell the story about going off a hill with the bicycle and Dad catching me and everything. I knew that he was going to catch me before I got to that fence. And if you put all your trust in God, he's prepared for everything. There's not anything he has prepared for. And when you realize that when you're in his kingdom and in his plan, he's got Satan on a short leash. There's only so much he can do. He's going to allow him to do what he has to work a work in our life to perfect us. You know, Satan doesn't realize that in his trying to destroy us, God can use him to be part of the perfecting process in our life. And it just hit me like, why not? Why would you not want to trust God? You know, that we've been sold a bill of goods by everything in the world about how we got to have this and we need this and two of these and four of those and this color that and, you know, mine's better than yours. And it's me, my. You know, it's all about, you know, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. And to understand that if we really are as concerned about ourselves as we think we were, it would be like the illustration we've heard so many times about, you know, the Coast Guard coming out in this awful storm when this ship is sinking. They're trying to save this man. And, you know, they go out there and the waves are all over the place and they try to drop down a hook with a basket in it. And the man's afraid to get into that because the way the boat's whipping back and forth, he's afraid he's going to get hung in the cables. And so they try to drop it down off the side of the boat. And he's too afraid with the way the boat's moving around to jump into the water to get in there. So finally, they send a diver down into the water who comes on the boat, who's there to put him in the basket. And the man is fighting this Coast Guard person who's there to save him with everything he has, to the point that the man in the Coast Guard has to physically knock this man out to put him in the basket to save his life. And I look at the things that God's put in place for. He's done everything but knocked us out and stuck us in a basket because mm-hmm. he wants us to have a relationship. It's not just one time coming to the rescue. He's wanting us to have that relationship. You know, we talk about, you know, husbands and wives and girlfriends and family and things and all the aspects that goes into a relationship. You're there for the good. You're there for the bad. You're there to offer support. You're there to nurture. You're there to be a sounding board when they need a sounding board. All the things that goes along with having a relationship with someone, he wants that for us to have. And when it dawned on me when I got to look at this plan, is sin took us away from God. There's a separation that came in, and everything in that plan that he put in place from the beginning was to draw it to where we could go back to him and not to be like it was with Peter, where he had all this shame, you know, because he knew what he had did, where he'd went. I don't know who he is. I'm not one of his people and everything. I denied him and cursed even to make a point. All those things that we've done, because we've all got different sins and things that we let come between us and God and things that we're ashamed of. But to realize that there's a day where there's not going to be any shame, nothing, that God has not just tore down the veil in the temple, but he's now put us back in his holy presence to have one-on-one time with him, the creator of all things, to be able to see that love in his eyes that we can now see through his creation and through his plan and through everything he's done for us, to be able to see that. What value could you place on? How much wealth could you swap for that? You know, what would it take if you had to cut off a leg or an arm to be there? Why would you not do whatever it took? But instead, it's like you said, we had this mindset of, well, he's a holy God and loving God. Oh, he loves us so much. He wouldn't let us go through that. You know, he's not going to do that. Well, he's not doing that. He's sitting there with everything in place to rescue us, and we're sitting there like, not today. We think we'll try this another day. And before you know it, all of a sudden, boom, you've either died or God's going to come back for his bride and you're not going to be ready. And then what? Who can you blame but yourself? And I guarantee you there's not a person that's going to be falling into the depths of hell that's going to be blaming God. They're going to be trying to justify themselves out of being there. The cries and the things that you're going to hear people say as they're going through there, I'm so glad there's going to be that gulf that's between there so that the people that don't go there don't have to deal with all that anymore. We're separated from that shame also. But I don't know. I tell you what, if there was ever a time that you would want to encourage people to look at God's creation, if you feel like nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, that you don't have any value, stop and read about God's creation. Just take a moment to look at that. And just, I'll tell you what, it just jumps out at me like it never has before of the value that God places on us. I don't know why he did, but I'm sure glad he did. I'm sorry, Blog Talk Mom, I didn't rattle on so much after I got you on there.
That was good. I enjoyed the program, as usual.
Well, we appreciate your help and being here with us, and I don't see anybody else that's sitting here with their hand up, so we're going to pray that all of you have a blessed new year and invite everyone to please go back if you didn't take part of our program where you started your prayer list and everything to do that. We're already starting to see some of the things on our list come to fruition. And so I encourage you all to do the same. So God bless each and every one of you, and we'll be back next week.